Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Lord's Entrance into Dwarka, and this is text number 29. Ta putram ankam aropaya sneha snuta payodara tarsha vivalitat mana shisikur netrajair jalair tad putram ankam tad putram ankam aropya sneha suta payodaraha harsha vivalitatmana shishikor netrajair jalair tad putram ankam aropya sneha suta payodaraha harsha vivalitatmana shishikor netrajair jalair tad putram nankam aropya sneha snuta payodaraha harsha vivalitatmana shishikor netrajair jalair. Someone else, please. Tad putram akam aropya.
Sneha suta payodara.
Harsha vivalitatmana.
Harsha vivalitatmana.
Shishikor netrajair jalair.
Shishikor netrajair jalair.
Ladies, please. Tad putram ankara kopya. Sneha suta payodaraha. Harsha viva lila mana. Ta. All of them. Putram, the sun. Ankam, the lap. Apropya, having placed on. Sneha snuta, Moistened by affection. Payodaraha. Breast filled up. Harsha. Delight. Vivalita Atmana. Overwhelmed by. Shishiku. Wet. Netrajai. From the eyes. Jalai. Water. Translation: the mothers, after embracing their son, sat him on their laps. Due to pure affection, milk sprang from their breasts. They were overwhelmed with delight, and the tears from their eyes wetted the Lord. Purport: when Lord Krishna was at Vrindavan, even the cows would become moistened by affection towards him. And he would draw milk from the nipples of every affectionate living being. So what to speak of the stepmothers who are already as good as his own mother? Om Agnata Medandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So despite the fact that this is a short purport, some of the points that I extracted from this was that it says here, when Lord Krishna was at Vrindavan, even the cows become moistened by affection towards him, and he would draw milk from the nipples of every living being. Actually, it's all one sentence. There's so much to be said for engaging in this process of Krishna consciousness. There's so much that we stand to gain from the process. There's so much that we're not even aware. When we first start chanting, when we first start coming to the Krishna consciousness movement, we get a taste for Krishna consciousness. We get a taste for chanting. So here we all are, whether it be 3 months later, a week later, it might be 40 years later, it may be 50 years later, but we're all here for a reason, because we're experiencing something that we've never experienced before. And this path of bhakti yoga is the path by which we can feel Krishna showering the moisture, showering affection, showering the mercy on us. Just think back for a moment, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years before we joined this Krishna consciousness movement, and we were not engaged in this process. So just think about that. Now, life was dry, and we were always seeking for some pleasure, because by nature we all understand that the living entity is looking for pleasure. We are Sachit Ananda Vigraha, fully blissful, eternal, full of knowledge. So this is what we're looking for. And unless we're serving Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then our lives will not be satisfied. We will not feel that pleasure for which we're always anxious for. So as we go on in Krishna consciousness and we serve Krishna, and we serve Krishna in many different ways, we see that we get we become overwhelmed with delight, just like Krishna is very happy. Krishna becomes overwhelmed with delight when he sees that his devotees are serving him. Just like the father. I can remember when I was very, very young, I would give my father certain little gifts for his birthday, say. Or even I remember the time when I rendered some service to him in that I put shaving cream on his face. And then I had his razor blade, or his razor. Of course, he was smart. He took the razor out of the razor itself. And so he took the razor out, and then I would shave his face. So here I'm connecting with my father. I'm serving my father. And in some cases, very playful as well. So, but he was very pleased. He was very happy. He was smiling. He was jolly by this little interaction that we had. Not that my father needed the cologne I may have bought him for his birthday or the shaving cream or what have you. Because he had everything that he needed. He didn't need from me those little gifts. But it was the act of love and giving and serving and spending time with that he became happy. So that's kind of on a material level. So on the spiritual level, by serving Krishna, Krishna has everything. Krishna gives everything. Krishna is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. He's the source of everything. Everything comes from him. So, but what does Krishna need from us? Krishna wants us to give him love. Krishna wants us to serve him. This Krishna is very happy. And then the result is that we become very happy. We become ecstatic. We become very pleased when we're serving Krishna because Krishna is pleased. And if we please Krishna, then naturally we become pleased. Just like there's the bird in the tree. And we see that, we've read that in Bhagavad Gita. The bird in the tree. So Krishna is just waiting for us to turn towards him, to stop enjoying separately from him. This is the source of all of our misery, is that we are trying to be Krishna. We're trying to enjoy separate from Krishna. So this affection is there from Krishna, and he gives us, he reciprocates with us according to our surrender. So if we surrender to Krishna, then he rewards us accordingly. And we feel that. We feel that love. We feel that pleasure. We feel that ecstatic, that satisfaction that we've never experienced before. And sometimes we experience it a little bit more than other times. We might be in a kirtan. We might be chanting and we're not necessarily feeling it, as we say. Oh, I'm just not feeling it. But all of a sudden, at one point, things just become ecstatic. You know, we see our bhaktas here. They start dancing and twirling. And, you know, I haven't seen any backflips yet, but, you know, pretty close. And we've seen the devotees. They're just dancing ecstatically. Look at when Srila Prabhupada was here. And Srila Prabhupada would pull up in the car. We've all seen footage of it. And the devotees would be so ecstatic. And throwing flowers and jumping and dancing in ecstasy. I remember the very first time I came to the temple, and we were out on book distribution during the day, and we came back at night for the 7 o'clock the 7 o'clock artik. I can remember feeling so ecstatic that I was jumping as high as I could, trying to touch the ceiling. So I was getting a taste. But then Krishna tests us. Krishna may pull back that taste a little bit, say, okay, now. Despite the fact that there's challenges, that it's difficult, that maybe you're not getting the taste, are you still going to continue? So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, this is the fourth chapter, Transcendental Knowledge, Yeyatam mam prapajante, tams tataiva bhajamyaham, mamavart manavartante, minusha parta sarvasya. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So this is Krishna giving a direct instruction. This is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and with Krishna speaking to Arjuna, this is almost like the supreme counseling. Because if we simply follow everything that's here in the Bhagavad Gita and in Srila Prabhupada's books, we'll attain love of God. I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my paths in all respects, O son of Prita. Everyone is searching for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, in different aspects of manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is particularly realized by his impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence and as the all-pervading supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. So for anyone that may even be listening to this class on the internet for the very first time, this process works. This process of bhakti yoga works. If we simply just plug in, if we simply just take to this process of Krishna consciousness, of bhakti yoga, you will experience happiness for which you've never experienced before. And here we have a team. And a team works together. And in the team, everyone does something different. Some people go on Harinam. Some cut up in vegetables in the kitchen. Some devotees are up early, waking up the deity. Some devotees, they come to the temple in the morning and right after the Guru Vastika prayers, without even going to the rest of the program, to the rest of the Mangalartik, they're going on the altar, they're bathing the deities, they're dressing the deities. Some devotees clean the temple. Some people, devotees, work in the restaurant. We all have a different service to perform, a different part of the whole big machine. And it's very important that we all work together and that we all team up and we assist each other. How many times have we heard each one of us say to each other, "Hey, Prabhu, I got your back, no problem. That's fine." Right? So we assist each other. Now, there may be things that we are asked to do that are a bit challenging, that we never have experienced before. But Krishna gives us the intelligence by which we can come to him. As Bhagavad Gita says, Krishna says, "For those who perfectly worship me with love, I give the intelligence by which you can come to me." So we're all acting according to a particular nature that we may have, but at the same time, we may also be asked to do something that may not be our nature, or something that we may not even know how to do. Or we may be asked to do something at a very last moment without even any preparation. But if we just go forward, Krishna will give us the ability, as he says, "I am the ability in man." He will give us the ability to do that service. I'm very perceptive here on Watsika Avenue of who comes to the temple, who might be a bit of a problematic person, who tries to take from the temple, who may try to steal from the temple. I never dreamed that I would ever have such a task, have such a service. But Krishna somehow or another has given me that ability to do that. So I can speak for myself. So I'm sure as I'm speaking, we all can say that we've been asked to do things in this Krishna consciousness movement, in this process, to surrender, because that's ultimately what it's all about anyway, is to surrender to Krishna and to surrender to the instructions of the spiritual master. That, you know, we've been asked to do something and, wow, I don't know if I've never done that before. How many people here ever thought that they can go out on the street and approach someone, and in whatever way that you do it, and give them a book. Tell them, not in this exact words, but what you're doing is not making you happy. Give up your nonsense. Here's a wonderful book by my spiritual master. This will bring you peace and happiness, or teach you how to be happy in your life, whatever it may be that you say. To dress like this, to go out and give someone a book and even ask them for a donation. How many of us were trained to do that before we became devotees? And then pretty much in the first week, the first day even, as some of us have experienced, okay, you're going on Sankirtan today. Oh, what's that? Oh, I don't even know how to do it. I can remember, and I'm a pretty forward person. I'm a pretty, extrovert, as they say. But I can remember the very first day I went on Sankirtan. Yeah, I was pretty petrified. I was like, I don't know how to do this. But I just kept trying and trying and trying. And we're talking about, you know, distributing books in airports where people are walking by very fast and running for flights. We're talking about working in the train stations. We're talking about working out in cold parking lots when it's cold in the middle of February in a cold climate. But Krishna reciprocates, and Krishna gives you that ability to do amazing things. And what to speak of, let's fast forward. The time of death, that's the biggest test. That's the biggest surrender. And as I'm getting older, I can personally speak for myself that I've been thinking about that day more and more and more. Who was it, Yudhisthira Maharaj, said, if you keep death in the forefront, you make a lot of advancement? I believe it was Yudhisthira Maharaj that said that. So we have to keep that focus that, you know, that inevitably one day, that day comes where we have to give up our false ego and we have to give up our attachments. And the biggest attachment is what we're inside of right now, is this material body, which has changed so many times. So this process of bhakti yoga is the means and the way. 16 rounds a day, 4 regulative principles, do some devotional service, and we can experience the higher taste. Bhakti mam abhijananti yavinyas chasmi tatvataha tatamam mam tavato gyadva vishite tad anantaran. 1855. Krishna is telling Arjuna here, one can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full conscious of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. Srila Prabhupada writes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his plenary portions cannot be understood by mental speculation, nor by the non-devotees. If anyone wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has to take to pure devotional service under the guidance of a pure devotee. Otherwise, the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will always be hidden. As already stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:25, Naham Prakash Sarvasya. He is not revealed to anyone. No one can understand God simply by erudite scholarship or mental speculation. Only one who is actually engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service can understand what Krishna is. University degrees are not helpful. So simply by trying to understand Krishna by our blunt material senses, it's not going to work. We have to engage in this wonderful, blissful process of Krishna consciousness. And if we're not getting a taste, take a step back. Let's analyze the first thing that we do, chanting of Hare Krishna. How is our chanting? As we recite every morning the 10 offenses, go through that. It's the chanting of Hari, of the 10 offenses is not just, you know, just to as a murmur or just to say something. I mean, it's really important to understand what are the 10 offenses in the chanting of Hare Krishna. And even inattentive, to be inattentive while chanting. Very important. I sometimes even see people chanting in class. So I kind of wonder what is that all about. But again, it's important to chant Hare Krishna, and to the extent that we're chanting our 16 rounds and we're hearing the Maha Mantra, every syllable, Hare Krishna and Rama, pronouncing the mantra very clearly and hearing and not yelling the Maha Mantra. Sometimes people chant very loudly. So it's important to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and just be able to hear it for yourself. And then we go on to the next step. We have, you know, hearing and chanting. Then from that is remembering. So whatever we're putting into our minds, whatever we're putting into our heads, whatever we're practicing, that's going to come out. It's going to come out in our speech. It'll come out in our actions. And ultimately, to be chanting all the time and to be doing service all the time and developing love of Krishna and serving the Vaishnavas, you know, that's our goal. We want to 100% be engaged in Krishna consciousness and serving the Vaishnavas. You know, Jai Prabhu, what can I do for you today? What kind of service? What can I do for you? Let me serve you. Worship the devotee, the Vaishnava. Lord Shiva said to Parvati, what is that? What was that verse? Aranam Sarvesham Vishnu Aranam Param Tasmat Parcharam Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So the worship of Lord Vishnu is the best. But even more important and better, more important than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship the Vaishnava, the devotee. And then the Lord becomes very pleased when he sees that his devotee is being worshipped. And it all starts when we worship Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was very pleased and is very pleased when he sees devotees pushing and pulling each other towards Krishna, helping each other to advance in Krishna consciousness. So this is just some of the ways that we can develop that happiness in life and giving love to one another, and not in a sentimental way, but giving to one another, giving gifts, accepting charitable gifts, revealing the mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, offering prasadam and accepting prasadam. These are six ecstatic ways to associate with the devotees, share with the devotees. How ecstatic is it when somebody comes up, one devotee comes up to you in the middle of the afternoon, says, "Prabhu, I have this really awesome piece of sandesh, and I want you to have it." I see people smiling, so I'm assuming we've all been in that particular situation before. Or even without even realizing or expecting it, someone gives us a gift. I'm going to share on that note about sharing prasadam and a gift. About a week and a half ago, my wife and I were working, and we just kind of didn't eat lunch. And so, we didn't. And so, we finished what we had to do. And then I'm like, okay, now we're going to have something, some prasadam. Let's cook something. But then I realized I didn't have all the different ingredients, you might say, or what I needed. I had things missing, and I needed to go do boga shopping. So I walked out on the street, and I walked right past 3755. And Savas Prabhu was standing there with this container. It was all Mahaprasadam. And it was too much for him. So he wanted to know, "Prabhu, would you like this prasadam?" So here is an expression of love by someone. He came out on the street and he gave this to me. And also Krishna appeared in my hands, because Krishna is none different than his prasadam. This is Krishna. And then it also solved the dilemma of, okay, what are we going to do to put prasadam together? Or I should have said at that point, it became my dilemma. So, this offering prasadam, I was so ecstatic. And as it says in the next instruction, that's symptoms of love that are shared by devotees. So, what I'm thinking is, let's offer prasadam to each other more often. Let's accept prasadam more often. Let's offer gifts and charity to each other. Let's accept charitable gifts. Let's find those devotees that we can reveal our minds to, that we feel confident to speak with. And inquire from senior Vaishnavas, those Vaishnavas that have experienced the challenges in their lives of making it to where they are today in Krishna consciousness. And I'm not only speaking to the younger devotees, I'm speaking to devotees that have been around for a long time. Because we all need association. Just like one stick. If you have one stick, it breaks very easily, doesn't it? But what happens if you have many sticks together? It's much harder to break. So we have a wonderful team here of many very loving devotees. And even if I can send this out into the airways through the internet, come and join us. Come and associate. For those of you that aren't initiated, for those of you that haven't even come to the temple, come to this temple. Come and associate with the devotees. Come and see Srila Prabhupada. Come see Gaur Nitai, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Come see Rukmini Dwarkadish. Inquire. What is it like? What does it mean to be a devotee? What is Krishna consciousness? I remember I was at the temple in New York once, and someone came up to me and said, "I'm interested in being a monk. What is it like to be a Krishna devotee? This devotee found me on Facebook and reminded me that I was the one that he approached, and he asked me that question after years, and he's still practicing Krishna consciousness. Yeah, so come and associate. Come and associate with all these wonderful, wonderful devotees that are here. I mean, as I look at every single devotee sitting in this room, I can see that every single one of you Prabhus, you're all surrendering to Krishna. You're all trying. You're all associating with the other devotees. You're giving to Krishna. You're surrendering your lives to Krishna. Every one of you is doing that. And that's a wonderful, wonderful example for everyone else. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, one of my favorite lines, in the 9th chapter, 3rd text, it's about faith. Faith comes from association with devotees. So if you're feeling a little slack, if you're feeling a little sluggish, plug in. Just go find a devotee and start talking about Krishna. Ask them about Krishna. Ask them if they're an older, a senior devotee. Tell me about the early days in Krishna consciousness. It wasn't that long ago. I love hearing stories. You know, Archita Prabhu will tell me stories about the early days or top of it, Prabhu. I know him from 55th Street. We would talk about those days. Or even before those days, you know. Omkar Mataji, I'm looking at you and I'm thinking about this. Do you remember that you told me the story? You were sitting right over here to my right where Maharaj is sitting. And there was all these devotees in this temple room and it was packed. And you could hardly see Srila Prabhupada, and you wanted to get closer. But you couldn't. And then Srila Prabhupada was giving out Maha Prasadam. And what rolled right up to you? What kind of sweet was it? It was a simply wonderful. Wow, these are ecstatic stories to hear. So we have such very nice Prabhupada disciples here, devotees that have been serving 45 years, 50 years. Pick their brains, milk them for everything that you can. Oh, Prabhu, could you tell me a story about Srila Prabhupada? Maybe a time you were together with him. It's really ecstatic. Even this story about the sweet ball. Okay, Prabhus. So, I want to thank you very much for coming to the class. I want to thank everybody in Internet land. And I've been on the phone with some devotees from Dubai recently, and some knew that I was giving class. So if you're listening to class this evening, because it's nighttime there, I thank you very much for coming all the way over here. And I hope you all have an amazing day and a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. Jai. Hare Krishna.
One devotee he had them, and I wanted to use them because they look nice. And he said they belong to
okay.
And I walked out of my house this morning, and I have that other pair of cartels. That's the one. So we have a couple of pairs. Maharaj gave me this. Thank you very much for it.
You're a very motivational class.
I appreciate it. Didn't even occur to me it was on the altar, so thank you.
There's a light over there.
I see it, yes. Okay. I know it's there now. Thank you.
Jai, thank you, Prabhu. Coach Brigupati Prabhu. I got a little carried away there. All of a sudden, it's like all the words were just coming out.